1 Kings chapter number 17, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 9. The Bible says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." Verse 11, "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Verse 13, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. This morning I want to bring a message to you entitled Wisdom About God's Work from a Widow. Wisdom about God's work from a widow. During the Civil War, it's said that President Abraham Lincoln was invited to attend a prayer breakfast with a group of ministers that were praying about the war. Sometime during that breakfast, one of the ministers turned to the president and said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." President Lincoln, in all of his wisdom, replied, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." Lincoln reminded those ministers that religion is not a tool by which we get God to do what we want, but it is rather an open invitation for you and I to do what God wants. And the reality is this: God has a will for each and every one of our lives. If you're here today, God loves you. But if you're here today, God not only loves you, but He has a divine plan that He has laid out for you specifically. Imagine that the God of all creation knows about you and He knows about me, and that He actually has laid out a specific plan for my life and for your life. Well, that's what the Bible tells us. And today, as we look here in 1 Kings chapter 17, we find the prophet Elijah by the brook Cherith. It's a story that if you've been in church very long, you've heard no doubt many times, that there was a drought in the land, and Elijah had actually proclaimed the drought, and God sent him to the brook Cherith, and he said, "I'll sustain you there," and he had sustained him there. But as we come to our context in verse number 8 and 9, the brook has dried up, and God commands Elijah to go to a place called Zarephath. You see that in verse 9? He says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath." Now, Zarephath is a Hebrew word that literally means refinery. So God says, "I want you to go to this place called Zarephath, which is a refinery." And I want you to show you here as a picture of where God was telling Elijah to go from. You can see at the bottom right-hand corner in this map on the left side of our screen, there's the brook Cherith. And what God tells him is, he says, "I want you to travel up past the Sea of Galilee, and I want you to go to this coastal city of Zarephath." And then you can see on the right are two pictures of modern day Zarephath. The bottom picture is actually a picture of a little bit of the remains of the original city. But Elijah has been at the brook Cherith, and God sustained him there, and now he sends him up to this coastal city called Zarephath, this place that is named Refinery. And it is at Zarephath that God is going to further refine Elijah's faith. And it's at Zarephath that he's going to further refine the faith of this widow woman. And as great as Elijah is, and as no doubt he is one of the focal points of this chapter, today I don't want to spend our time together talking about Elijah, but rather I want to spend our time together looking at this little no-named widow woman. A woman that God doesn't even tell us her name. He just refers to her as a widow woman. And as we focus our attention on her and look at the events of this passage, God teaches us some wisdom about how he dealt with her to accomplish his will in her life. He teaches us wisdom about how he wants to work in our lives and help us accomplish what he has for us as well. So this morning, may God guide us and help us to learn wisdom about God's work from a widow. If you're taking notes this morning, I hope that you will. The first thing I want you to make note of is the discovering of the widow. Number one, let's talk about the discovering of the widow. Now, if you and I were to read this entire chapter and even the chapter prior to, you would see that there are some major characters in Scripture that we're dealing with. You've got wicked King Ahab that is mentioned previously in chapter 16. You've got his wife Jezebel that is there. She was a wicked queen. Then you have the prophet Elijah, all major characters of things that we hear of in Bible stories. But then in the midst of all those headline stars, if you will, of biblical stories, out of nowhere in verse 9, God introduces us to a widow. He tells Elijah, this prophet of God, he says, I want you to go to this coastal city of Zarephath and I'm going to use a widow to sustain thee. And sure enough, when Elijah arrives at the gates of Zarephath, there she is. And as we discover her and as we're introduced to her, we learn several things about her. And I want to point three of them out to you. Number one, we notice first of all her initiative. When Elijah finds this widow, what does he find her doing? He finds her at work. Notice what the Bible says in verse 10. It says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there what? Gathering of sticks. When Elijah comes to the gates of Zarephath, he looks and beholds this widow woman and she is out working. She's out gathering sticks for her family. Now what she was doing was not a work that was going to be printed on the front page of the Zarephath Times. What she was doing is not something that people were going to write stories about necessarily, just out gathering sticks. But it tells us that she was a person of initiative. She was a person that was already working. And gathering sticks not only speaks of the fact that she was working, but it also tells us that she was in a very poverty-stricken situation. She didn't have firewood. She was just out trying to gather enough sticks to create a little bit of a fire so she could go back and prepare food for her family. But the lesson here is this for you and I today, is if we want God to use our life, then we have to be faithful and we have to be active in the little mundane things of serving God. As I told you, the gathering of sticks was not a big thing. It's not headline news, but it was an important thing. God had given her a responsibility as a mother to take care of her children. And what she was doing is she was working to try to accomplish the little thing that God had given her to do. And the fact is, as you and I think about working for the Lord, sometimes we sit back and we pray, God, I want you to use me. God, I want you to use me. But we're not currently doing anything, but we're waiting on God to give us something else to do. Listen, there is always something to do. And there are no big jobs and no little jobs in the work of God. People may look and say, well, Pastor, you've got a big job in God's eyes. Listen, in God's eyes, me preaching this sermon to you this morning is no more important than somebody emptying a trash can during the middle of the week. If it's done for His service, it's all the same. There are no big I's and little U's. But there is a matter of the fact that as God's people, if we want God to use us further, then we've got to follow this initiative of this widow woman and continue to working now in doing the little insignificant things. Because I can promise you, you may think it's insignificant, but it's not insignificant to the Lord. We see her initiative. Notice, secondly, the thing we see is Elijah discovers this widow as we see her instruction. Secondly, we see her instruction. As Elijah comes in verse 10, it says that he finds her gathering sticks, but then notice what happens in verse 10. It says, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So Elijah, as he comes, he walks up to the gates of the city and he sees this widow woman and she's gathering sticks, and he knows that he's supposed to be finding a widow woman that's going to sustain him. And so he calls out and says, excuse me, ma'am, could you fetch me a little water? I've been on a long journey. And so she goes and she begins to go fetch him some water. And as she goes, the Bible says in verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he calls to her again. And he calls to her again in verse 11, and it says, and bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So now this woman has two commandments, two instructions. Elijah first says, I want you to go get me some water. And while she's going to get water, he gives her a second command and says, also I want you to bring me a morsel of bread. Now what we see here with this woman is really building on the first point that we made. She was faithful in the little mundane things, but now God comes and asks her to do something simple. He says, would you go get me a little bit of water? And because she obeyed God in that, God gave her something else to do. He says, okay, well, if you're going to obey in that, then would you also bring me a morsel of bread? I don't really know what you call that other than progressive obedience. And the matter of that, and the point that we're trying to make about is this, that if God gives us something to do, we have to obey God in that thing before God will give us something else to do. And if we obey God in that thing, then he'll give us something else to do. And if we obey God in that matter, then he'll give us something else to do. It's a matter of progressive obedience. The more you obey, the more responsibility God will give on you. And we see in this woman's instruction that she was a woman who was willing to obey God. Well, we've seen her initiative, we've seen her instruction, but I want you to notice the third thing about her. I want you to notice her ignorance. The third thing I want you to notice is her ignorance. Now, it's important that you know we say that she's ignorant not as a negative context, but rather as a statement of fact. What I mean when I say that she was ignorant is I mean that she was unaware of what God was doing. She did not know that God had sent Elijah there and for the sole purpose of sustaining him. To this point in our context, Elijah has never identified himself as a prophet. He didn't show up at the gates of Zarephath and say, excuse me, ma'am, I'm sure you've heard of me. I'm Elijah. You know, I call fire down from heaven, and I can slay 850 prophets of Baal. I'm kind of a big deal, and I'm a little thirsty. Could you go get me an Aquafina from the fridge? Thank you very much. He didn't do that. He didn't go introduce himself. He didn't say, listen, I'm a prophet of God. He just walked up and said, excuse me, ma'am, would you be willing to fetch me some water? And then would you be willing to fetch me a morsel of bread? And so this woman has no idea what God has planned. You say, but Pastor, back in verse 9, something I don't understand. In verse 9, as God's talking to Elijah before he goes to Zarephath, he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Watch this next expression. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, don't let that confuse you. When he says, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee, he's not saying that I have spoken to her and told her to be expecting the prophet of God. That word that's used there, that Hebrew word, has the implication that he had chosen her or that he had appointed her a task to do. But it does not mean that he had informed her of what it was that he wanted her to do. Here's the application of mine in your life. Sometimes God allows things to come into our life that he has appointed us to do. They're divine appointments from God. But he doesn't always introduce that to us. He doesn't always come before us and say, now listen, in a week or two, I'm getting ready to use you, and this is going to happen, and this person's going to come into your life, and you're going to have this opportunity. God doesn't work that way. Sometimes God brings things unexpectedly into our life, and he has chosen us to do something very important, even though we don't really realize that it's that important. That's why when God opens an opportunity for us, we should always prayerfully consider every chance that we get. And we should always prayerfully consider whether or not we do this, or whether or not we help this person, or whether or not we do that. Because sometimes we're ignorant of what it is that God is doing, even though God has divinely set us aside to do something very important. And so we see this discovering of the widow. Now let's move on and notice the second thing that we can learn from her. Second thing we learn is from her is the deliberating of the widow. The deliberating of the widow. So at this point in our story, brief recap, Elijah has traveled to Zarephath. He's met this widow woman. He's asked her for some water, and he's asked her for a morsel of bread. Well, she had no problem with the water. She didn't even say anything. She just immediately went to go get the water. But when he asks her for the morsel of bread, she turns and begins to share her concerns with Elijah. And she deliberates in two ways. Number one, she describes her inventory to Elijah. Number one, she describes her inventory. Notice in verse 12, as Elijah has cried out at the end of verse 11, I pray thee for a morsel of bread. Verse 12, she turns and says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. She turns to Elijah and she says, look, I can get you some water. She said, but I don't have a cake. She said, I'm a poor woman. She said, I don't have a cake. She said, to be quite honest with you, all I've got is a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. She says, that's all I've got. Now, you've got to remember, they're in the midst of a drought. Everything has become scarce. The brook Cherith has dried up. People are really struggling. There's not an abundance of goods. It's not a matter of that she could go, even if she had money, she would struggle to go to the market and try to find what she needs. And so she turns and begins to deliberate. She says, listen, I just don't have it. In verse 12, she says, look, all I've got is a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Well, she not only describes her inventory, but secondly, she declares her inadequacy. Secondly, she declares her inadequacy. In verse 12, at the heart of the verse, she basically just says, I can't make you a cake. She says, all I've got is this little bit of stuff. And then she goes on and says in the heart of verse 12, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. Now watch this last expression. That we may eat it and die. She turns to Elijah and she says, look, it's not that I don't want to help you. I'm just not able to help you. You need to find somebody else, because all I've got is a little handful of meal. All I've got is a little oil and a cruse. And to be honest, I'm trying to gather up a couple sticks, enough to make a small fire, so that I can take what little I've got left and make it for me and my son. And then we're going to waste away and we're going to die. You say, Pastor, what in the world does that teach us about serving God and about working for God? Well, look at it, step back for a moment and look at the whole story to this point. God has already said that he's commanded this woman. He's divinely appointed her to do this task. But now as God comes through Elijah and he mentions what it is that he wants to do, she does exactly what Moses did, and she does exactly what most of us do when God comes and asks us to do. She begins to describe the reasons why she can't do what it is that God's asked her to do. And she had some good arguments. She said, look, you don't understand. I got a little meal, got a little oil. She said, I've got a little of this and a little of that. And she said, be honest, we're about to die. I'd love to help you, but I can't do it. I'm inadequate. And here's what happens. So many times when God moves and speaks to us about serving and about ministering or about doing this, in our minds, we get to the place where we look at our talents, just like this woman looked at her inventory of her goods and say, I can't do that. No, Lord, not me. No, I can't do that. I might be able to do this, but Lord, I can't do that. And we begin to give God reasons why we can't. And it's a real struggle. But here's the reality. Elijah recognized this woman's struggle. Elijah recognized that she was telling him the truth. He recognized that she was being completely honest with him. And so God uses Elijah to help her and encourage her, just as God uses preachers and other Christians to help and encourage us when we find ourselves feeling inadequate to do what God has asked us to do. And that's what I want you to notice, thirdly, the declaration to the widow. Thirdly, I want you to see the declaration to the widow. Notice what happens here. She's deliberated and declared to him. She says, I don't have very much. But Elijah senses her concern, and God uses him to help her. And he helps her in three ways. Notice, first of all, he comforts her. He comforts her. He comes in verse 13. She's just told him, she said, we're going to gather a couple sticks. I'm going to make this cake, and then me and my son are going to eat it and die. In verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Fear not. See, that's what was really, that's what had gotten her. That's what gets us. You know, the biggest struggle with all of us when something new happens in our life, whether it's a spiritual matter or not. If you leave one job and you go to another job, you know what it is that you really struggle with? It's what I call the fear of the unknown. You don't know what it's going to be like. You don't know what the coworkers are going to be like. You don't know if they're going to actually give you what they promised they were going to give you. You don't know what the environment's going to be like. It may be a new drive. It may be a new this. You've got a new boss. You've got the fear of the unknown. And it's the same thing when God asks us to step out by faith and to serve. We don't know what it's going to be like. And there's anxiety there. And Elijah knew that what he was asking her was a big deal. And so the very first thing he does to comfort her is he says, whoa, look, fear not. Take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. Just calm down. Don't let all these fears overwhelm you. Everything is going to be okay. But he not only says fear not, but then secondly, after he comforts her, he commands to her. Notice his command to her. In verse 13, Elijah says, fear not. Then the next three words are go and do. Just go and do. He says, look, don't be afraid. Don't get caught up in yourself. Don't get caught up in all this anxiety of what you don't know and how this is all going to work out and you can't work it out and it doesn't work out on paper. He says, no, don't do that. He says, fear not, go and do. One of the biggest areas that we all struggle with is it's a battle of our mind. When God asks us to do something, we overthink it. And as we begin to overthink it, what happens is our mind becomes the devil's playground. And the devil begins to sow 1,000 different seed thoughts of doubts and frustrations and what could, this could blow up my face. What if this happened? Or what if that happened? And Elijah senses that that's what this widow's going through. And she says, he says, no, look, fear not. Just go and do. You go and obey what it is that God has given you to do. And when God asks us to do something, we can't overthink it. We just simply need to step out by faith and obey what it is that he's given us to do. But notice what else he tells us in verse 13 as he commands her. Notice the order of events in which he commands. In verse 13 it says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now get a hold of what he just told her. Now here's a woman that just looked at him and said, I've got a handful of meal. I've got a little bit of oil, enough to make for me and my son a cake, and then we're going to die. And Elijah turns to her and he says, fear not, go and do what you were going to do. You go make that cake, but you make me a cake first, and you bring it to me. And then you go back and make a cake for you and your son. And no doubt in that woman's mind, she had to think, that makes no sense. And in true, don't get mad at me, ladies, but in true women fashion, she had to be thinking, are you even listening to me? Do you even hear what I'm saying to you? I told you all I had was enough for me and my son. And now you tell, there ain't enough for three. Two, not three. These men can't find a man to listen to nothing. But that's what Elijah told her to do. He says, I want you to go and do, but you make for me first, and you bring it to me first, and then you go and you make for you and your son. The message with that is this. What Elijah was saying is he says, you obey God first. And if you'll obey God first, then He'll sustain you with all these other things that you're worried about. He says, you put Him first. It's the same thing that Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then what? And all these things will be added unto you. You understand? And what Elijah was telling this widow is, he says, look, he says, you obey God first. It's not that Elijah was saying that he was more important than her or her son. What he's saying is, if you want God to sustain you and your son, then you obey God. And what God has given you to do is for you to give me this cake first out of a step of faith. And if you do, then He'll take care of you and your son. And that moves us to the third thing, His challenge to her. He comforts her by saying, fear not. He commands her by saying, go and do, and gives her instructions exactly what to go and do. But then He challenges her. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Here He challenges her further to put her faith and trust in God. He challenges her to take such a step of faith, it was literally life and death. If she makes this cake for Elijah and goes back and there's not enough for her and her son to eat, they're going to die. But Elijah tells her, he says, listen, I'm challenging you. You trust God, and if you will do what God says, then I promise you that that barrel will not run out of meal and that cruse will not run out of oil. I'm not going to put more oil in it. I'm not going to put more meal in it, but God will do a miracle in your life if you'll step out by faith and trust Him. He challenges this widow, and it's the same thing that God challenges you and I to do today. He challenges us to take steps of faith when we feel inadequate, when we feel unable to do what it is that He has to do, whether it's to teach or whether it's to serve or whether it's to do whatever. Maybe it's to witness to somebody. Maybe it's to try to read more or study more or have a close relationship, whatever it is. He challenges us. He said, just try me. Just take that step of faith and obey what I've given you to do. And if you do, I promise you, I'll sustain you. I will not let you starve obeying me. I will not forsake you. He challenges this widow woman to trust in God. Well, that brings us to our fourth and final thing. That's the decision of the widow. The fourth and final thing we see is the decision of the widow. This woman's world has been entirely turned upside down. She went out to gather sticks, all depressed and discouraged, and now there comes a prophet of God that has showed up, and now he's telling her if she'll make him a cake, then God will sustain not only for today, but until God sends rain, that He'll take care of all of them if she'll obey. But she has to choose her path. And notice two things about the decision of the widow, and we'll be through. Notice, first of all, that she trusted the Lord. The widow trusted the Lord. Notice in verse 15, I love the way Scripture ties this in. Before we go to verse 15, look back up in verse 13. In verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do. Then when we look down in verse 15, it says, and she went and did. In my Bible, I've drawn a box around go and do, and then I've drawn a box around she went and did, and I've drawn a line from the go and do to the she went and did, because that's what it is that we need to do. When God says go and do, she didn't deliberate again. She didn't try to throw up her reasons again. She just went and obeyed. She trusted in God. She never said another word. She says, what choice do I have? I'm going to trust the Lord that God will do what He said He would do. And notice what it says in verse 16. It says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. God provided just as He promised her He would. She took that step of faith, and you can imagine her standing over that little fire making that cake, thinking, I may be making the biggest mistake of my life. I don't know how this is going to turn out. And she goes and she delivers that cake into Elijah's hand. And then she turns and goes back. And she reaches down into that barrel that was empty. And now there's some more meal in there. And she takes that cruise and she turns it over and there's some more oil in there. She says, I can't believe it. And she makes that cake and her and her son eat it. They get up the next morning knowing the barrel was empty that night, knowing the cruise was empty that night, and she goes back and she reaches down and there's some more meal. And she tilts that cruise over and there's some more oil. And God just continued to provide miraculously for her because she trusted the Lord. She fulfilled the will that God had for her life. You remember what God told Elijah at the brook Cherith? He says, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I've divinely appointed something for her life. But the only way she could accomplish it was to trust in the Lord. And that brings us to our final thing. She taught us a lesson. She taught us a lesson. You and I can gain so much wisdom from this widow about our service for God. He teaches us through her that He has a will for us to do. And if we'll trust Him, He will accomplish that will. This widow woman wasn't a woman of affluent wealth. She wasn't a woman who was educated. She wasn't a woman who was successful. She didn't even seem important. She wasn't even important in the little community of Zarephath. The only person she was important to was her son and the Lord. So it doesn't matter who you are or where you are or what your name is or where you came from. God has a work and a will that He wants to use your life if you're willing to do that. God has a plan and He'll reveal things to you that He wants you to do. It may not be exactly what you thought He wanted you to do. Somebody was asking me this week, how did you go into ministry? What age did you go into ministry? And I was telling them, and I said, look, I said, I surrendered to the call to preach when I was 17 years old. But I said, I did not want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't want to be in ministry. Had never thought about that before in my life. And when God began to deal with me about it, I was so terrified. I was just like this widow woman. I began to make excuses, and I didn't want to do it, but I knew God was dealing with me, and I had to step out by faith and trust Him. And it's the same way with you. God may be dealing with you about serving or doing something, and you say, man, I don't feel adequate to do that. I don't feel like I've got the talents to do that. I don't know that it's me. Listen, it's not about you. And it's not about me. And it's not about your ability and my ability. It's about His ability. And God can take anybody and He can use them to do anything because He created us and He is God. And so when you step out by faith, it's not about your talents and what you can do. It's about what God can do through you. That is the secret. That's what this woman learned. And God used her in a powerful, powerful way. God says to you today, fear not, just go and do. And if you'll go and do and trust God, then God will be with you every single step of the way. As you seek to fulfill God's will and His plan for your life, may God help us to remember the wisdom that we learned today from this widow. Let's bow our heads in prayer.